Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we have returned once again a little bit late. The pressures of haunt season have finally gotten to us. That and travel, I think, combined to make this a late episode. But yes, we will be getting this out on Monday, as we usually do, just a few hours after we normally post it. But I'll still backdate it, so no one will know the difference unless they listen to the podcast, which no one does, so we're okay. It'll look like we're on time. But yes. And if you do, for some reason, decide you want to listen to us, that's the best segue I've got, unfortunately. You can find us at hauntweekly.com. We're Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Please like and follow us there. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly takes you to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to us there and get notifications when our new episodes go live and listen to us in the easy YouTube format. But we're also available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere that finer podcasts are distributed. Once again, they just haven't caught on, apparently. We're flying under the radar. Yep. But yes, so we've had an interesting topic this week. It's one we've actually been talking about off and on for a while. But we've had a few things come up that really sort of brought this conversation to the forefront. And we're going to talk about that much later on. It's going to be toward the tail end when we get to the recent stuff.
Right.
But it's the idea. Whoa.
You spent too much time in Shreveport.
All the Southern just like flooded back into me. It's weird. Woo. All right. Let's try that again. But it's an idea we've had for some time, the idea of kayfabe and haunting. If you don't know what kayfabe is, if you're confused, you've never heard that term, you're wondering, what weirdness are these two talking about? We're going to cover you. We're going to catch you up on that.
Yes, it's not related to J-pop.
No, it is not related to J-pop or anything music at all. So you're safe. And you might learn something, just nothing useful. So don't worry.
It'll be like a normal podcast.
A normal podcast here. You're not going to learn anything that will have any practical value in your daily life. I promise. But anyways, on that note, it is time for conference reminders. It's an even episode. That means I kick it off. And coming up November 9th and 10th in Champaign, Illinois, is Dark History and Horror Con at the Garden Hotel Urbana. Tickets, $20 for the weekend. Includes a film festival, DHH Con. For more details.
Okay, those same dates, November 9th and 10th. It's Legendary Haunt Tour in Salt Lake City, Utah. Holiday Inn Express. They will be touring Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others. Find out what those others are at legendaryhaunttour.com.
All right. January 25th through the 27th, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's HauntCon / Halloween and Party Expo at the Ernest and Morial Convention Center. It will be featuring us. I will be speaking at it again. I will be giving my talk about copyright and trademark and haunting. I've done it before, but it's an important topic, and they decided it was important enough to have me back. So we are going to do that.
Okay.
Learn more details about that at HauntCon.com. We will also probably be doing some kind of get-together or something like that. I have no idea what we're going to do.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook in order to learn about that.
Yeah,
whenever
Facebook
we
and Twitter and all those places I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
I told you there'd be a quiz coming later. Oh, wait, I didn't tell you there's going to be a quiz?
Pop quiz!
It's a pop quiz, and that's called life.
Yeah. Okay. February 23rd and 24th, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo. Really wish I could go to this. It's in Pomona, California at the Fairplex, touring Coffin Creek, lights on and off, and features a costume ball. HauntX.com for more info.
Then, after that, the last one we're doing right now, it's the Maze Chicago Corn Party. Well, actually, it's just the Maze Corn Party. It's not the Chicago Corn Party anymore. I might want to delete that Chicago.
Yeah, I was wondering why it was in there, since it's nowhere near Chicago this year.
Yeah, in fact, it's nowhere near any single city. There are actually two cities. They'll be at Dallas,
really?
Texas, and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It'll be February 27th through March 2nd. It starts at the Westin Dallas/Fort Worth Airport Hotel. They'll be touring various corn mazes around the Dallas and Oklahoma City area, including Yesterland Farm, Mainstay Farm, and more. The Maize, themaize.com for more information. So, yes, that is our conference reminders. A lot of good stuff coming up after season.
Yeah.
We really should see if we could do the Legendary Haunt Tour one year. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the problem is it's so close to haunt season that I can't take off.
Yeah, and we're broke. So.
Well, that's true, too.
That's two problems back-to-back, basically.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, no time off and broke. But, yeah, well, maybe we'll figure it out one year.
Maybe.
All right. So, the topic of today's podcast, or this week's podcast, is kayfabe in haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, especially the non-wrestling fans out there, are probably wondering what the hell kayfabe is.
No.
Because it's not a term you hear in day-to-day life. But I think it's such a beautiful term.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually, on this podcast, used a lot of wrestling terminology to describe haunting. We've talked about taking bumps.
Right.
When actors take hits or falls or whatever. We've talked about popping.
Mm-hmm.
You get a reaction from someone. You pop the crowd. You pop the customer.
Right.
Whatever. You get that reaction. We talked about that. We talked about selling.
Mm-hmm.
Making an injury that's trivial or non-injurious
right.
look convincing. How to
yeah.
do that. And we have a whole episode about wrestling and what you can learn from wrestling in a haunt. Previously, I thought I jotted down the episode number here, but apparently I didn't. I was really tired when I wrote the show notes. But yes, we've done a previous episode on wrestling and haunting. I would go back and listen to it. It was actually a very good episode, one I'm very, very proud of. Because even Japes said it was a good episode, and he wasn't even on it. So, you know, that's like the highest praise you're going to get.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But yes. But we did not, in that episode, talk at all about kayfabe.
Correct.
Now, kayfabe is indeed a professional wrestling term. And the meaning of it is kind of ambiguous. It's kind of an amorphous thing. But the generally accepted definitions are events that are real in the fiction of the ring, basically.
Right.
Things that are considered real, even though they are not, they're considered real for the fiction. Or another way to say it is the portrayal of fictional events as real.
Yes.
A good example of this is The Undertaker. As a wrestler, almost everyone, I'm sure, is at least casually familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, he's a guy named Mark Galloway.
Yeah.
He's a tall ginger who likes to go to the gym and has a beautiful wife and a nice house and a good life, you know?
Yeah.
In WWE, in kayfabe, he's an undead wizard who can shoot lightning and basically obliterate people. That's kayfabe.
Completely straight-faced.
Completely straight-faced. But there are much more subtle examples of kayfabe, too. There have been plenty of wrestlers who have been kayfabe brothers, even
right.
though they have no or very distant limited relation with each other. Mm. In fact, the current Big Show
right.
is the kayfabe son of Andre the Giant, though Andre the Giant did not have children.
Yeah.
Which makes that a little complicated for him to be the real son of Andre the Giant.
Right, and there was all the Undertaker and Kane stuff, too. Was
yes, Kane and Undertaker are kayfabe brothers, though they are not related in any way.
No.
In fact, now one of them's a mayor in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrestling's weird.
It is.
Wrestling's really, really weird.
And the other wrestling episode was 89.
Thank you. I knew it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Let's go back, listen to episode 89 for selling and bumping and all those other terms that we
yeah.
talked about. Anyways. Stop making wrestling terms, trying to make wrestling terms happen. They're not going to happen. Okay, I get the message.
Yeah.
Now, the origin of the term kayfabe, I found this interesting. I tried to find where it came from.
Right.
It's hotly disputed, but the term has been around for at least 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite theory, only because it's absolutely hilarious, and is that it's simply pig Latin for be fake.
Yeah.
Kayfabe. You can kind of see how that one works.
Yeah.
Kind of get it. So it may have been pig Latin for be fake, meaning, you know, and the way wrestlers would use it back then is because back in the old days, this isn't so much true today, wrestlers would have to maintain their character anytime they were in public.
Right. And
that included anytime they were not on the clock. Go ahead, what were you about to say?
Nothing.
Oh, sorry. And it's always interesting because you would have things like heels and faces and heels, good guys and bad guys, right, with separate locker rooms. They weren't allowed to fraternize, even if they were really BFFs.
Right.
It went to some pretty big extremes.
It did.
One of my favorite examples of keeping kayfabe alive was the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase.
Mm-hmm.
WWE and various promotions he worked with, well, there's WWE when he was the Million Dollar Man, actually gave him stacks of cash to just spend wildly while he was out and about. He would go to a restaurant, he would fancy restaurant, he'd just pay for random people's meals.
Be
just
nice.
Yeah, it's nice. He's a heel, but he's doing it apparently in a dickish way.
Yeah.
I don't know. You pay for my food, you can be as big of a dick as you want. Yeah. I'm not going to hate you.
You know, I know you can't really afford to eat here, so
here you have it. I've covered your check.
Yeah.
I'm doing something to support the riffraff today.
Yeah.
Which would probably actually be me in one of those restaurants. But yeah, so they took it to an extreme back then. It's less that case today. I mean, wrestlers have Instagram and Twitter accounts where they're all out of character anyways.
Right.
But yes, the core idea currently is that wrestlers should work to maintain kayfabe in the ring.
Yeah.
Which means when you're in front of the audience, you stay in character, you compete. Again, I'm doing the air quotes that you can't see.
Right.
As if the outcome actually matters.
Yes.
And you stick to the script and to the storyline. You remain in character whenever you're in front of the camera, in front of the audience.
Yep.
And it's used by wrestling to boost believability. Because if you simply watch wrestling, objectively, it's very silly.
Yeah.
But this actually helps you get a little bit invested in the stories, a little bit invested in the outcomes, and actually understand what's going on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the predetermined nature of wrestling has been known for a long time, and this is funny because we were just listening to Jim Cornette,
right,
a wrestling manager. We listened to his podcast on the way while we were traveling. And he likes to bemoan that Vince McMahon gave up the game on kayfabe back in the 80s and 90s and blah, blah, blah. And the answer is no, he didn't. The predetermined nature of wrestling was known for a long time. Charlie Chaplin actually did a silent film about how wrestlers practiced their matches. Just to put this in some context.
Yeah.
Charlie fucking Chaplin covered this.
Yeah.
It was known as far back as the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal was to make people, either to make people believe or to aid in their suspension of disbelief.
Right.
And that's, and I think the latter is what it's better for. Because you can't really get people to believe wrestling is real.
Right.
Outside of a few seconds, or maybe you like blur reality.
Not after you get, you know, after a certain age.
Yeah. It's like Santa Claus at that point. Oh, sorry. Whoops.
Shit.
Sorry to any kids in the audience. Santa's totally real. Moving on. Not going to touch that one again. But yeah. So here's the thing. Kayfabe exists, or at least can exist, in the haunt industry.
Right.
And if you think about it, it's actually, we kind of have the similar structure here. We have a storyline, we have characters, and we have a theater, so to speak, the haunt itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the area around the theater, the universe that theater exists in. That's very similar to wrestling. It has characters, it has stories, it has a theater, the ring, it has a world that exists outside that, that it's also part of the kayfabe.
Right.
And so you kind of have that similar structure, but haunts, in my experience, don't really do a lot to sell the kayfabe.
No, they don't do a lot to sell the entire package. Now, a lot of actors will try to stay in character and are told to stay in character.
Yes.
But it's very difficult for them to do so all the time.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, for all the work actors do in maintaining character, I mean, which is very, very rough, especially, you know, if you're working with people that call you by your real name.
Yeah.
The person that's at knows who it is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it there. We don't need to call anyone out. They should be hanging their head as it is currently.
Yeah.
They feel bad enough. But, yeah. But for all the work actors do in immersing themselves in their characters and trying to engage in the audience as their character, the haunts don't do a lot of the world building around that.
Right. And that goes back to our other episodes about building story and building a compelling story at that, you know.
Yeah. There's not really an attempt to make customers believe what's going on.
Right.
Because if you make that attempt to believe, if you make the story, you make the universe convincing enough, people might not believe it, but that leap to suspension of disbelief is much less.
Right.
I mean, we've all seen movies and TV shows where something happens, it just beggars all belief, it's absolutely batshit insane,
yeah.
And you completely lose your suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
And you're just calling out the sheer stupidity or the sheer craziness of what you just saw, and it's gone. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm thinking of that tech CSI thing that you and Ellie watched.
CSI Cyber, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't make it very long. Yeah.
Like, that's not how any of this works.
Yeah, when I saw the, like, in the first 5 minutes, the cell phone that was sending text messages via Wi-Fi or whatever the hell it was to all the random phones, even though it didn't know its number.
Yeah, exactly.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good example. Yeah, it completely beggars belief. It completely destroys my willing to suspend disbelief because right. it's just too far. The gap is too wide. You got to meet me halfway on this stuff, and that's what kayfabe is for.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you meet your customers halfway on the suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to haunted houses, like I said, there's rarely that effort to do that. The story, whatever it is presented as a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
99 times out of 100, it takes a huge back seat. It might be, if we're lucky, it's a thing on the website.
Right.
And that's just it. Other times, if it is worked into the haunt at all, it's not really, you know what I mean, done in a very immersive way.
Right.
And it's more like going to a theater. It's more like seeing a movie or a performance than it is really being immersed in the kayfabe of it, really getting involved.
Yeah, and we've struggled with this ourselves because we used to do videos every year of our story where Jonathan would sit and tell the story. But we learned that a lot of customers did not go and actually watch those videos.
Yes.
I do think that it does help to have a story, even if you're not going to try to relay it directly to your customers, because it helps with the build and the design of the characters and the haunt itself, the way it's decorated.
Yeah, we've talked about this in multiple episodes, the storytelling part of it,
mm-hmm.
because one of the things we said was writing a story is free.
Yes.
Even if it only helps one customer out, it's still worth doing.
Right.
It's free. It doesn't take you much time to do that. Maybe not a whole full production video like we used to do and all that.
Yeah.
But do whatever you can. It's free. It's not that much time. And if it helps even a small handful of customers, you win.
Right.
It's a benefit. But yeah, you're going to have to do the bulk of your storytelling through the haunt itself.
Yeah.
And we saw that at the Lost Souls tour with Midnight Terror.
Yes.
They had a haunt with Willow. Now, I realized I hadn't actually even looked at their website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just sitting there drinking Coors Light on a bus, blindly trusting this tour to take us to good haunts.
Yes. Good job.
Good job, by the way. Excellent job on that. Worked out well. And so we get there. I know nothing about the story. I know nothing about this haunt other than it's like a mid-sized haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in. They introduce us to the villain of the story. And you have a narrative that flows through.
Right.
So it worked out pretty well. What was it, 100% false? No, but still, it was better than I've seen pretty much any other haunt this season, I think. Maybe Hell's Gate, but...
Yeah.
Hell's Gate did a pretty good narrative, too. I keep forgetting about theirs. But yeah. See, the thing about it is this, though. There's a real opportunity to use kayfabe here. If you can convince customers that something may be real, or that at least it could have been real,
right?
Then, once again, they will join you on that journey.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is this. It's not lying. That's something that's very important.
Yeah.
It's storytelling. Think like the original Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm.
That took the world by storm.
Right.
When it first... They shot it on a budget of like $20 and a pack of gum. But
yeah.
But it took the world by storm. And the reason was people believed it at least could be real.
Exactly.
They didn't, I don't, and that's just it. I was around and a horror fan at that time it came out. I am old. Not many people I knew believed it was real.
Yeah. I know that there was all the rumors about, oh, it could be real. What if it is?
Yeah.
You know, and we do get that with your haunts because, you know, there's customers talk. They make up stories about you if you don't give them one.
Yeah, trust me.
Yeah.
It happens. But yeah, they managed to sell the kayfabe on that.
Right.
And they never really lied.
Right.
They never said this is real.
No.
They never said those words. They never even hinted that it was real. At least not that I ever heard. Instead, they just presented a compelling looking movie with a story that sounded very plausible.
Right.
And that was enough for people to get that much closer to believing it.
Yeah.
And it made it that much easier for them to invest in it. Haunts can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. If the Blair Witch Project, that shaky cam... I'm not a fan of the Blair Witch, all right? I'm just going to be honest.
I don't know that I've ever watched it.
I get fucking motion sickness watching. I never get motion sickness.
Yeah.
I ride roller coasters. I do crazy stuff. I never get motion sickness. I felt ill watching that. Don't know why. Anyways. Neither here nor there, not important. Still, good example of selling kayfabe. So yep. Here are the benefits of trying to have some kind of kayfabe. The more real something is, the scarier it is.
Yeah.
This seems very straightforward to me.
It does.
One of the reasons, and we're going to talk about Disney more in a minute, but one of the reasons that the Haunted Mansion isn't necessarily super scary is because they don't present it as necessarily very real.
Right.
They still have a kayfabe around it, but they don't really present it as real. It's meant to be a demonstration of special effects.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's very, very cool. But like I said, it's not supposed to be super scary. Meanwhile, and I really wish this attraction was still alive, the Alien Encounters attraction at Disney World is a brilliant example of building a kayfabe and then using the effects to sell the realism of it.
Yeah.
They built a story, they immersed you in it with special effects and 3D, and then when the lights go out and that fucking alien is eating goddamn people around you, you will swear on a stack of Bibles of every religion that thing is in the room with you.
Yeah.
It was so good, and I'm so pissed it's gone still. Sorry.
We couldn't tell.
But yes. But the more real something is, the scarier it is. Like I said, compare watching a scary movie to a roller coaster.
Yeah.
A roller coaster is a much more visceral experience. Both are very scary, or both at least can be, but a roller coaster is visceral. Both are perfectly safe. In both cases, the danger is an illusion.
Yeah.
But one definitely feels more scary and feels more real because it impacts more senses, because it does more things. It aids in marketing, too. It's so much easier to sell something people can believe in.
Yeah.
It really, really is. A lot of haunts always struggle. And one of the questions we've gotten a fair amount is, how do we distinguish our haunts from others in the area? And it's like, well, what's unique to you? What's your story? What's, you know, unique? If you got kayfabe going, that's what's unique.
Yeah.
That's your selling point. Everything else flows from that. It's super easy. And it also increases word-of-mouth promotion.
Mm-hmm.
People love sharing true stories.
Right.
Quote, unquote. Quote, unquote, true stories.
You're getting those quotes you can't see.
Those are quotes you can't see. People love sharing those.
Yeah.
We all grew up sharing legends and urban, you know, that stuff. Yeah. Urban legends spread faster than anything else on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it aids in the... It gives you that word-of-mouth promotion, both in actual word-of-mouth and social media, and it aids in the formation of legends around you. And that's one thing we've noticed with what we do, because we use real, once again, air quotes, real New Orleans stories in ours, is that people have started making up their own legends about us.
Yeah.
And, like, I have no idea where these came from.
No.
We've heard at least a few. I have no idea who keeps coming up with these. It's not our crew.
No. It's kids.
It's kids.
Because kids will tell... Because growing up as a spooky kid, kids will tell other kids stories just to scare other kids.
Yeah.
You know, we would make up stories about our neighbors all the time. And almost every neighborhood has that house that the kids don't go near. And then they tell all those crazy stories, and it's probably just some nice person who's lonely living there.
But that's just it. There's a kayfabe around the house because it's believable.
Exactly.
That house isn't picked because of some random crap.
No.
It looks like a scary house.
And, right.
You know what I mean? It's, they sink their teeth into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all in all, what you're doing is you're creating what I think of as a more Disney-like experience. It's a complete package.
Yep.
It's a full experience from beginning to end. From the moment they start reading your marketing to the moment they leave, it's part of an experience. It's a whole separate universe. It's a whole separate world.
Right.
And like I said, that includes like the moment, like think about it from like the average haunt experience. From the arrival, when they buy tickets, when they're waiting in the queue line, to when they're going to the haunt, and when they're leaving. Whatever the aftermath is.
Mm-hmm.
If it all jives together and tells the same story and keeps the same narrative going, that is very, very powerful. If your narrative is just inside the haunt, and they are immediately separated from that kayfabe, from that universe, the moment they get out or while they're waiting in the queue line, it's not going to be nearly as effective.
Right.
The more time they spend in that universe, the more they immerse themselves in it, the more they start to believe it, and the more it grows with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All in all, this allows you to produce a better experience without spending much more money.
Yeah.
You don't need to hire new actors to do kayfabe. You might have to think and retool some of your experience, especially front of house, but you don't need super expensive props. You don't need to move to a new location. You can take what you have, think about it in terms of trying to hone in and tell this story and create this universe and make it believable. You can do that with what you got, pretty much, in most cases, at least.
Yeah, and give a much more memorable experience.
And here's the thing. If you can't do the story you want to do with what you got,
yeah,
change your story.
Yeah.
If you are a haunt that's built with 2x4 technology, guilty.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, don't make your story about, like, fire-breathing dragons and crap like that. That might not be your story. Make it about, you know, a basement-dwelling serial killers or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So make it believable.
Yeah, I just saw a story that today about a warehouse actually on the West Bank somewhere that houses 4 million specimens of fish. Yeah. And there's one guy cataloging it all. It's like, that guy's probably a little bit nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But doesn't he work for Tulane?
Yeah, he does.
So he actually, he's not like doing it for funsies. He's getting paid, I hope, to do it.
I don't know. But the headline was misleading because, yes.
Yeah.
But
anyways.
He would make an interesting thing. All people should be fish.
Yes. So how do you do it? How do you make a little kayfabe around your heart? Well, the first step is to have a story. We've talked about story multiple episodes, but basically you need a plot, you need characters, you need a beginning, a middle, and end. So basically, you know, you can't sell a universe. You can't make your customers believe in your universe if you don't have one.
Right.
And the story is going to be your universe. Because that's the thing about wrestling. Going back to it, wrestling isn't wrestling. It's a series of stories that act out, that play out in no insignificant part in a wrestling ring.
Right.
It's not, you know, just wrestling. Now, some great targets for your story. If you've got an area legend that you can use, that's the perfect place to start.
Yeah.
If your place is quote-unquote haunted, yeah, you might want to mention that.
Yeah.
Like Evil Intentions, the Casket Company.
Yeah.
Good start.
Yeah.
Really good place to start. Talk about the supposed ghost. Talk about what happened there.
Yeah.
Who are these spirits? What do they want? How did they get there in the first place? What are their traits? What are they going to do to me? You know, set it up. If you don't have anything specific to your place, look for things in the area.
Right.
This is where we have to mine. Our house was built in the 1960s, and the only thing I can tell was haunted by was poor craftsmanship with the previous owners.
Yeah.
But yeah, New Orleans is pretty fucked up.
New Orleans
history is pretty messed up. So we have all these really great events. Well, great events. Be right, great event.
Yeah.
But all these really compelling stories to pull from. And what we do is we start with the historical truth and just go a different direction with it, but somewhere that seems plausible.
Right.
Because in New Orleans history, a lot of stuff seems plausible that probably really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Create an event that just at least sounds plausible. And then basically, you know, like I said, start with your history and go your own way with it. And if that fails, you can look at other historical legends.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't try claiming you have Jack the Ripper.
No.
But you can make your own serial killer patterned after him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't claim to have, like, the Gray Lady or whatever, the Gray Man from the Myrtle Beach, the famous ghost story from there.
Right.
I wouldn't claim that, but you can claim a different one, you know, that's very similar and in that vein. It's very easy to do that, and the fact that you're echoing a story that exists makes it more believable, even because, hey, the thing is, people believe those stories.
Yeah.
If you echo something that people already believe, others will be more susceptible to it. Obviously, there's something compelling about that story. Bringing it into your haunt, making your own version of it, makes it easier and more likely people will at least, you know, inch closer to believing it.
Right.
Because this isn't a light switch. This isn't believe or disbelieve. There's a whole spectrum there between those two things. And you just want to inch people closer so when it comes time to suspend disbelief for the scare, they can make the leap. Okay. And then the next thing is that once you've got your story, make sure everything you do tells it.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important. Start with your marketing. I get so frustrated when I look at haunted attraction marketing, haunted attraction flyers and websites and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they all look the same.
Yeah.
You have a story. You have a unique vision. You have something that's special to you. Make it come across.
Yeah, and it's also not just to you, but to if you're changing the story each year or something, make sure that you have that in there too.
Yeah.
Because stock photos of something that happened 10 years ago and you've changed a lot in 10 years doesn't make any sense.
No. Especially if you drastically change themes or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very bad thing to do. Okay, after you got your marketing, look onto your queue line and your grounds.
Mm-hmm.
How can you bring that story out there? One way you can do it is if you have a produced video, this is a good place to play it.
Yeah.
Good place to present it. But failing that, make sure that when people are on the grounds of your haunt, that they know, or at least they feel like, they're in a different universe.
Mm-hmm.
Make it feel otherworldly to them.
Mm-hmm.
Make it feel alien. And, like, we went to the haunt in Darkwoods in Natchitoches. They did that extremely well.
Yes, they did.
You step through the gates of Darkwoods, you feel like you're somewhere else. I mean,
right.
To me, it felt a little bit like a summer camp.
Yeah. But it definitely, you were in the woods,
yeah.
A, because it was woods. But they also put a lot of little buildings along the path to
yeah.
the haunts. Because it was probably a quarter of a mile hike
from
where we parked.
It might have been a little bit longer than that, but yeah, it was long.
Yeah, from where we parked to where the haunts were located. But there were things to look at and do along the way.
Yeah, and that's just it. It let you know that you were in the woods. Because here's the thing. By itself, you might not really have understood or felt that deep into the woods.
Right.
Because with dark woods, you turn off a major road, you go over a tiny hill, and that's your parking lot.
Yeah.
So when you start the experience, you're like 50 feet
yeah.
from the road.
Yeah.
From one of the biggest roads in the city.
Right.
So that's not very woodland. But the way they did it, with the parking lot is almost 360 wooded.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you are only a few feet removed from the street, but you good luck seeing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you definitely can't hear it once you're far away.
Once you're in that parking lot, you can't hear it. You're unaware of it. You feel like you're in these spooky, scary woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you progress and go through the gates, you feel as if you're going into like this abandoned summer camp type thing with the creepy buildings and dark, dim lighting.
Right.
And it's a very compelling series of effects there. The haunt itself obviously has to continue this.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is to focus on the details. Bring those details together. If you, like, one thing that, once again, going back to Midnight Terror, one thing that they did was they had a very specific type of, I don't want to call it a pentagram, because it really wasn't.
Yeah.
It was pentagram-ish for Willow, for the main character.
Right.
And that thing was put everywhere.
Yeah. Well, not only was it put everywhere, but customers were told to look for it.
Yeah.
Because that's how you knew that who you were talking to was marked by Willow.
Yeah. It was on the walls. It was on the characters.
Yep.
It tied everything together very, very nicely. Mm-hmm. Good use of storytelling there.
Yeah.
And the main thing, and then, of course, the issue is you have to instruct your actors to never break character. And this is really, really tough. And we're going to get into when you break kayfabe in a minute.
Right.
Take your breaks out of sight. Only refer to each other with character names. And always behave in a manner consistent to characters.
Yeah.
Actors try to do that anyway.
Yeah.
And believe me, as someone who works front of house, I'm usually forced to break character at least once or twice a season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much have to. But yeah, it's very important to maintain that. It keeps the illusion going.
Right. And this is often more of a problem with new actors, younger actors who haven't had the experience of not responding to their friends when they're coming through.
Yeah, true enough. Okay. But yeah, your goal here is to create an entire physical universe that goes with a fictional one. And just keep in mind that the goal is not to make people believe. That's going to be pretty much impossible.
Right.
We're selling ghost stories and horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not things people tend to believe in.
Yeah.
But it's to make it easier so that they can suspend disbelief. And they do feel like they're in another world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, some examples of kayfabe and haunting that we've seen. Hell's Gate in Chicago, I think, was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Now, Hell's Gate's gimmick, I mean, they have a story about the darkness taking over this house.
Right.
But their actual kayfabe is that they are that house of legend where you go in and you find a key and you get your ticket free and
yeah.
There's a giant slide in it and it's totally crazy. You're there for 300 hours. And, like, 13 people died in it last year, and
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And lots of people asked to leave because they can't finish it.
Yeah.
It's too scary.
Now, Hell's Gate is not that haunt. That haunt was from would have been from the 70s, according to the legends.
I think the legend was even around then.
It probably was, yeah.
I don't think this ever actually
existed. No, it never actually existed.
Yeah.
But, like, when we talk about the legend today, we usually talk about, like, it existed in the 70s or 80s.
Right. That's true.
You know, it's one of those things. When you hear it, that's where they typically are harking back to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not really that haunt.
No.
But they did use the legend. It was a very bold move because every haunter has heard it. In fact, I remember 13th Gate, at least they did, I don't know if they still do, had it in their FAQs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you that haunt with the 13 floors and blah, 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 and all that? And they went, no! Mm-hmm. That haunt never existed, you losers, basically.
Yeah.
And they also further their kayfabe, though, by locating themselves deep into the woods, so deep that you actually have to take a shuttle to get there.
Yeah. Now, I do wonder if there's any kind of setup on the shuttles. Since we had our own bus.
Yes.
We didn't ride the shuttle, and I wonder if there's a character on it or some kind of decoration to make it.
There needs to be if there is not.
Yeah.
That is a blown opportunity if it is not.
Right.
That is, literally, that is when I would start kayfabe.
Yeah.
In fact, given, you know, the nature of what they're trying to do, both with their story and their plot and their kayfabe there,
yeah.
I would have someone on the bus explaining everything in a Taji accent.
Hmm.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I would paint the buses like they were coming out of hell because it's Hell's Gate. And maybe have, like, impish characters. You know, troublemakers.
There are a lot of ways you could do it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways. But yeah. Now, Statesville Prison is actually interesting because the other zombie army haunt in the area, because many people believed
right.
that Statesville was actually a prison.
Right.
Which it's not. It's a haunt.
Never has been,
never was. Sorry. Once again, Santa Claus isn't real either.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops. Said you weren't coming back to that.
It's not. It's a haunt. It's a very good haunt,
mm-hmm.
but it's built and constructed. It is not an actual old prison. Eastern State Penn
right.
isn't an old prison. And they were supposedly doing the old Joliet jail, but that fell through.
That was
not zombie
evil intentions.
Yeah, it was evil intentions, people. That's right.
Yeah.
I got my wires crossed, but yeah. But still. So there are haunts in prisons and jails,
mm-hmm.
but Statesville is not one of them.
Right.
But yeah, this is one of the things I do think John LaFlamboy does a really great job of, is building kayfabe into his work,
mm-hmm.
trying to make it immersive. Like I said, that whole thing about parking way out here and then getting shuttled into into Hell's Gate, and then using the walk through the woods to set up the big reveal of the actual house.
Yeah.
It's all really impressive stuff. And with Statesville, it's sort of a different approach. You walk onto the grounds, so you're walking into a prison, once again, the mirror quotes again,
mm-hmm.
And you go into the cell block to
right.
start the haunt.
Right.
That creates a very different vibe. It does make it feel like you're in a prison.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing's even got guard towers.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty impressive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I'd say is the House of Shock.
Yeah.
Now, in the time we'd been able to go to it, the kayfabe hadn't been as strong.
Right.
But previously they used fake protesters.
Yeah.
And even though they kept up the satanic themes, were more over the top with them apparently in the earlier years. And of course, the ever-present stage show when they were open, which really did, well, literally set the stage
yeah.
for the haunt itself. A lot of this lost its impact because they had like a 25-year run.
Right.
But it was so compelling in the beginning that people really did believe it was a satanic thing.
Right, and that people were actually protesting it.
And people were going in there and being sacrificed, and their stuff, legends formed around it.
Right.
I mean, like I said, by the end of the run, everyone knew that wasn't the case.
Yeah, you go there, you're definitely going to lose your soul.
Yeah, exactly. Those were the types of things that people said about the House of Shock.
Yeah.
And it was very, very effective for much of the run. And the classic example of kayfabe is Disney.
Mm-hmm.
The whole park, they don't call it Magic Kingdom for nothing.
No.
The whole park, from the time you get on the property, the time you get in the front door, and everything you do, you're in the Magic Kingdom. Characters stay in character. In fact, they use secret tunnels. If you're in the Magic Kingdom in Orlando, the Disney World, they have magic tunnels under the... Magic tunnels, just regular tunnels. But they're secret. Under the property...
Yeah.
To whisk characters in and out so they can take breaks and they can leave and change out people. It's a whole impressive operation where the whole goal is so that you as the customer never see anything that breaks the illusion.
Right.
And that's absolutely amazing to me that they went through all that trouble.
Yeah, it is.
Now, there are examples of kayfabe gone wrong. And I think my biggest example locally of that is the Mortuary Haunted House.
Yeah.
It's a haunted mortuary, quote-unquote haunted mortuary.
Yeah.
It's an actual mortuary.
Right.
They never do anything with it.
No.
They have it in the name.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating to go there because it's a beautiful building.
Yes.
It's got a ton of history and its own legend separate from the haunt.
Yeah.
And it's never played with for the haunt. So it is very frustrating.
And part of that is every year they do new themes.
Right.
Like this year they have like this purge thing going.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. It's a good year. They actually did pretty well with it. But still, it has nothing to do with it being a mortuary.
No.
And it makes it very difficult to create a kayfabe around it. Because, hey, we've all seen or at least heard of the movies.
Right.
And the result of that is we kind of know what's going on, what this is about, and where this came from. And the suspension of disbelief is that it's a huge jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just do all these different themes. None of them actually related to the history of the building. It's so gorgeous, so beautiful, and just so un-kayfabed.
Yes.
Now, when to break kayfabe. This is our final point for the night. Wrestlers, as we discussed, are famous for never breaking kayfabe.
Right.
There are stories of wrestlers, like there was, I think it was Junkyard Dog, Jim Cornette told a story about Junkyard Dog, was doing an angle where he was blinded by the heels.
Mm-hmm.
And he was blinded by the heels. And he was at ringside, and imagine, he went out there with a cane and the sunglasses and everything.
Yeah.
He was blind. And then a guy leaned in over the rail and said, "Don't worry, JYD. I got my gun. I'm going to shoot him when the match is over."
Yeah.
And JYD basically had to decide between, you know, stopping this guy and saving his friends and breaking kayfabe, or letting him hop the rail and possibly shoot people.
Yeah.
And unwisely, he chose to keep kayfabe. Luckily, I think he did something to alert security or something else
right.
so they could stop him.
Right.
No one was actually injured, but Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah.
That is not the time. Because the thing about it is this is that it is not practical for haunts to maintain kayfabe religiously.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is necessary. And if you, and here, this, the off the top of my head, occasions where it is. First is safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I thought it was a House of Shock it happened at.
No, it was 13th
okay,
Gate.
Either way, we were at, I think, 13th Gate then. Someone in the line way in front of us.
No, it was in our group.
Oh.
He was in our group. He was behaving oddly.
Yeah.
And then when we got inside, he started having a PTSD attack.
Yeah.
And we thought he was just an actor that had been put with our group that...
Yeah.
You know, for some reason they had...
They're doing plants this year, apparently.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Exactly. Which we didn't think they would do, but...
I don't think they can do.
Yeah, unless but... They're... By the second scene in the haunt, he was gone. We never saw him again.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what happened to him, which led to the addition of the plant, unless, you know...
Yeah.
Theory, but...
But, yeah, we found out what had happened later from...
Yeah, and basically it was security just came in and quietly took him out a side door and got him the help
safety.
He needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the incident, I mean, we're thinking two different incidents now.
Okay.
I remember that now.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the House of Shock.
Right.
When somewhere, we were in a conga line at this moment.
Yes.
But somewhere in like 10 paces ahead in the conga line, someone had a panic attack or some kind of attack.
Right.
Was on the floor. And all the actors were trying to get the line to move back so they could get him out.
Yeah.
And you and I joined with the actors in helping push back the line.
Right.
But everyone broke kayfabe. Everyone broke character then for safety.
Right.
Then that's the point in all those cases. Is
exactly.
That when it's safety, safety comes before everything, including kayfabe. I'm
yeah.
sorry, JYD. That was the wrong decision.
Yeah.
The second is customer experience. Kayfabe, you do it for customer experience.
Right.
When the customer experience is more hurt by maintaining kayfabe than it's helped.
Mm-hmm.
Break kayfabe. Now, here's the thing. We had, the, and this is going back to Darkwoods. There was an incident. We don't know what happened.
Right.
But the line for Darkwoods stopped moving. Right as we were near the front of it, too.
Yeah, we were like, the third group.
Third group back. And we were at a complete standstill for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened.
Nope.
They said they had to break the actors, but I don't...
I have trouble believing that because they called all the managers and the ringleader over and all of the actors were...
Q-line actors all of a sudden.
Were Q-line actors. All the haunt actors were suddenly Q-line actors.
Which created another problem, basically, that by
right.
the time we got into the haunt, we'd seen all the haunt actors.
Right.
Kind of took a little of the sting out of some of those scares, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
But that is an example of a time you don't have to have your costume characters do it. It could be someone just, obviously your staff,
right.
come out and say, "Hey, look, we've had problem X, we're doing Y. We expect a resolution in Z."
Right.
It's a very simple formula. And a haunt that did that very well was Rise.
Mm-hmm.
One year we showed up on opening night at opening because we're assholes.
Yes.
And they had an incident where when they turned on the foggers in the crypt area, it set off their entire fire suppression system.
Right.
The fire alarm system. And they were, of course, frantically working with the fire department and trying to vent it out. So the owner came out and said, okay, guys, here's the deal. The foggers set off the smoke detectors.
In our new scenes.
In our new scene. We are airing it out. We expect to be done about 15, 20 minutes or whatever. We'll let you in and just don't expect the crypt to be as fogged as we wanted it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When that happened, I don't think we mentioned it when we did our review or talked about it.
I
don't think we even mentioned it. But yet, that 25-minute wait where we couldn't get answers and all the characters, you'd ask the characters or anyone you could what's going on. So, we're cleaning the bodies out of the crypt. Or, we're sweeping the spiders out of the den. Or whatever. And it's like, these are not answers for why there's a 25-minute wait.
No, and the other problem with the breaking the actors is they said that some actors were in areas that had to be completely broken down in order to go to the restroom, which seems like it'd be very dangerous for the actors in case of emergency.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not either. It seems very bizarre. When the customer experience is more hurt by kayfabe than helped, break kayfabe.
Yeah, please.
You might have to break it selectively. You might have to find creative ways to do it. But yes, you have to do it. And one thing to think about also is your line actors should be able to answer common customer questions while staying in character.
Yeah.
A, they should know the information.
Right.
Like if I ask, do they scan my QR code up there?
Yeah.
They should be able to say, with a head nod, yes, to indicate, yeah, and that would be fine. So that's something else to think about. You don't have to break kayfabe to do things like that, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You can keep it going.
Yeah, in fact, you can give smart, aleckery answers. Of course we've got technology out in the woods.
What kind of hillbillies do you think we are?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when to break kayfabe. But, yeah, that's one of the things I've been really wanting to see more and more of Haunts. And I think that's one of the things that, says to me, has separated the Haunts that I like from the ones that I really feel a love of, is just how much they immerse me.
Right.
And how much they get me soaked up in that alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's done through kayfabe.
Yeah.
So, something to think about. We're technically out of time. But not that we have a hard time limit or anything, but yeah, we're at our usual stopping point. But any final thoughts on this topic, Crystal?
Also, if you are visiting Haunts and you know the actors, call them by their character name.
Yeah, if you know the character name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, once again, this is Haunt Weekly. We're at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Please take a moment to follow and like us there. You can also find us at tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. That's our YouTube channel. You can subscribe there and listen to all our podcasts in convenient YouTube format. And we're also on all the major podcast distribution platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podbean, Podhead Injury. I don't know. I'm sure there's a million of them. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 150, talking about kayfabe and haunting. We will see you guys next week. Hopefully, on time this go around. We'll see you then.
I doubt it.
Yeah, me too.